You're listening to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast, brought to you by Lifeway Leadership. Before we get started, we would like to invite you to join us for a free webinar on March 17th titled Leadership Pipeline, The Role of the Volunteer. During this webinar, you and your church leadership team will learn how to begin creating your very own leadership pipeline, starting with the volunteers in your church. To register, go to live.lifewayleadership.com, and that's free. Again, it's live.lifewayleadership.com to register. Now, here's the podcast.
Welcome to the 5 Leadership Questions podcast. I'm your host, Barnabas Piper, here with Todd Adkins.
What?
And with Daniel M.
Hello again.
Hello, Daniel. It's been a few episodes since we were on with you.
A few?
And that's because...
I think you're avoiding me.
Well, no, we were trying to give
your
you...
Your office is like right next to us.
Yeah.
I just try not to make eye contact. No, it's because you have been busy launching your very own podcast.
Yes, sir.
And a website, mm-hmm. and several hundred or thousand resources for church planters and campus pastors through newchurches.com. So tell us a little bit about that podcast and what you're doing with New Churches, because we haven't really talked about it on here yet.
Yeah, you can check us out, the New Churches Q&A podcast. You could search that. But the essence of the podcast is that you, just as this podcast here, we're asking the same 5 questions to guests and other leaders. What we do on the New Churches podcast is you actually submit a voicemail, and whatever your question is, either Todd and I one time, or it would be Ed Stetzer and I on the other times, we'd be answering the question.
I know you're tired of hearing me, and you're probably tired of hearing Ed Stetzer, but you should listen to it anyway, because Daniel actually has lots of good stuff to say.
Well, it's nice. I mean, every episode's 12, 15 minutes. It's quick. I was even with some church planters last week, and it was neat just to hear them say they always listen mm-hmm. to it on their commute, so...
Well, the response has been really good, and we know that people keep submitting questions, so that means – and it's not the same people over and over again, that's a good sign. So again, for listeners, that was the New Churches Q&A podcast, or you can go to newchurches.com. You can see the podcast, the blog, and a whole pile of other resources. But that is why Daniel hasn't been with us in a minute. It's not because we're avoiding him. We like talking with Daniel.
Good,
and so today we are going to talk about calling, and specifically discerning your calling. So – what is a calling? How do you discern one? How do you know if you have one? Those kinds
of things.
This
is not about whether or not you should call someone.
Right. This is not call me maybe. This is not hello from the other side.
Hello.
This is not any of that. This is calling like a calling on your life. So let's jump into our 5 questions, and we will discern quickly that it is not any of those things. So first question is calling just for those people who are going into ministry, or is everyone called to something?
I love the quote by our friend Jeff Vanderstelt, and we've done tons of things with him. Mm-hmm. But he said, everyone, we're all called to be full-time missionaries. We're just going to get our paychecks rooted in a different way. And what I love, obviously, he talks about this a lot, in his book Saturate and mm-hmm. And with his movement with Soma. But really, I mean, the essence of that is, hey, our first and foremost calling is not a vocation, it's not a job, but it's that we are called to be followers of Christ, living out the two, the Great Commandment and the Great Commission.
So when, obviously that answer is that yes, everybody is called to something. It's not specifically a ministry thing. Why is it then that calling is so often used as, somebody is called to the mission field mm-hmm. or called to the pastorate, but very few people refer to being called to be an accountant or called to start a business or called to, be a mom or whatever?
You're asking the why question?
Yeah. Well, so why, if calling is for everybody, why is calling only applied to ministry most of the time?
You're going to hate me because I know we had this conversation already in the hallway.
That's all right. We do a little bit of pre-show prep sometimes.
Well, no, this is not pre-show. This is last week in the hallway where I started talking about sacerdotalism.
Oh, yes.
Which I think above the Mason-Dixon line would say sacerdotalism, but...
No. Google it right now. I want you to Google it right
now. Okay, I will.
And while I'm
I'll settle this debate. Nobody anywhere says that word ever because nobody knows what that means except for 17 seminarians.
What?
Would you like to define sacerdotalism?
It's sacerdotalism. Look it up.
Define, please.
Make it push play on dictionary.com. I guarantee you that's what it is. And you can do that on air. I don't care. Okay, so, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. but I don't think
way off track.
No. Okay. So sacerdotalism, it has nothing to do with. Never mind.
This doesn't have anything to do with.
My question still stands.
Okay, sacerdotalism is this. It goes back to priesthood of the believer. It goes back to the Reformation. It goes back to the founding of Protestantism, and it is based on sacerdotalism was and still is where you have to seek forgiveness of sin through a priest. You have to pray through a saint in order to get X, Y, Z, you know, done or accomplished or for God to hear you. It is the whole idea of there are some people that are set apart. They and only they, you know, can talk to God. Only they can perform the sacraments of, you know, Lord's Supper, so on and so forth. There, it's a special people. What are you doing? You gonna play it?
Sacerdotalism or sacerdotalism.
Oh, she said both.
Sacerdotalism or sacerdotalism.
So she said both. No. Who is that?
That is a 12-second YouTube video.
12-second YouTube video.
It's,
okay.
It's either. So you're both right. Good. Settled that. That was a peaceful dispute. Settled was, nicely. Priesthood of believers. Back to you, Todd.
Priesthood of believers. So, you know,
you're
the whole
edit all
idea.
That out, right?
Of course not.
No. So it's the idea of, so what we have done is we got rid of it. Thank God. And, you know, we say, hey, priesthood of believers, you don't need a priest. You don't need. But we still practice emotional sacerdotalism. We still say there are some people that are special and set apart with a special calling of God, that they are the, you know, professional mm-hmm. religious people, and they're slightly more special than normal people. We have a tendency to do that. So that's right. That's why I say the calling piece, we so often see that connected with, you know, being a missionary or going into full-time ministry mm-hmm. versus, you know, being who God has created you to be where you are.
Yeah. So I think and so the broad answer to that question is that we would all agree that everyone is called to something. And Todd has referenced in previous podcasts, especially when we did Leadership Pipeline, the good works that God has prepared for everybody. That is a calling on a believer's life.
Yes.
Everybody is called to follow those things. How it plays out will look distinctly different. But we in the church have made a mistake by often thinking that there's a higher calling than other callings. And so we've defined that as calling and everything else is just sort of obedience. And we've kind of created a false dichotomy is what it seems like.
Yeah. I mean, that's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer talked about in The Cost of Discipleship, right? I love this quote, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Right. I mean, your dad talked about that in Brothers Were Not Professionals as mm-hmm. well. Just this idea.
One of his books that I did read.
And just the beauty of this universal call that we have. And you're right. I mean, we have kind of watered down, or maybe not watered down. We've made it sacred to mm-hmm. say, oh, you know, are you called? I know for me growing up, it wasn't until I was ordained that I was actually given the respect. Given respect in Korean churches that I would visit, there's actually this different word that you would use to refer to someone who's unordained and ordained. And I mean, that's not a positive thing. That just goes to show you that this idea of the elevation of those who are in ministry, which is, you know, I mean, there's the priesthood of all believers. So
I'm going to rearrange our questions a little bit because I think the one that we had one further down the list that I think goes better here. And so I'm going to ask that next. And that is, in light of this conversation that we're having, is calling just a vocational thing, and will we always fulfill it in our jobs?
No, I don't think it is. Simply because more and more, and it's not just because of where we are in, you know, current time and history, but more and more people will have multiple vocations throughout mm-hmm. their life. And so it will be constantly, you know, learning and relearning new works and learning yourself and who you are and all those different things happens again and again and again. I think it is really, it goes back to, we've said it before in a previous podcast as well, God cares more about who you are than what you do. So it's more about who you are and who you're becoming and putting yourself, submitting yourself to how God is shaping you and being being open to that and being willing to step into that.
Well, I think it's important to remember that it's not always a vocation, because that would imply that it's somebody who is underemployed or struggling to find employment. Yeah. If you just got fired from your job or let go or downsized, that you are therefore out of a calling. And yeah. That's nonsense. I mean, no, you would never look at a believer and say, oh, you don't have a calling on your life because you're unemployed.
Yeah, and that goes back to that, you know, that original thought.
The quote that you gave from Jeff.
Yeah, that really, I mean, first and foremost, regardless of what job you do, what your vocation is, whether it's an engineer or a sanitary engineer or what it may be.
That's what Canadians call janitors.
Yeah, whatever that may be, you know, we're politically correct most of the time. But regardless of what that may be, I mean, first and foremost, you wake up in the morning. Right. And you say, Lord, here I am. Right. What do you have for me? Yeah, there's going to be something I do 9 to 5 or but Lord, here I am. You know, what are you calling me to do?
And
this day?
I do think that there are people who can work out significant aspects of their calling, or they have a door open to them, or they are led to pursue a specific vocation. And the vocation for them is a means of fulfilling the calling. But it is not necessarily the calling itself. The calling is to be worked out in a vocation, as opposed to the vocation being the calling. And I think if we start to think of vocation as the calling, we begin to idolize the job, and that's problematic even in ministry. Because the position becomes the calling instead of the character, and what you said, Todd, who you are versus what you do. What you do in ministry ought to be a reflection of who you are, not a reflection of this role.
No, it should be an outpouring of who you are, because, you know, whatever it is that you're doing it as unto the Lord.
Right.
So, and who you are supposed to be becoming more like Christ, you're a disciple first. I mean, you know, some people will say, I'm a Christian first, and I'm a this. But the real question is, are you then doing everything as unto the Lord?
Right.
I mean, you know, if you're doing those things, I think you're gonna do damage where God's called you.
So let's hit our third question, which I think flows right out of this as you think about the practical implications, and that is, if this is all true, will we be called to positions or roles that we don't want or don't like? Because I think we often confuse calling and desire, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But will we be called into something that we don't want or don't enjoy?
Yes, because, you know, I think everyone would say, not everyone, that I think many people would point out that when you're growing, it often is occurring in the context of suffering, or it's in the context of being stretched, or, you know, something that is not exactly in your comfort zone. And you know, so if that's the case, you're going to have to go through some of those things in order for God to help hone and craft you into who he's created you to be.
Yeah, I mean, we see that in 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. And we can see this in all of our lives, the times where God has shifted us out of our strengths area, our area of his strength. And you know, my big thing is, hey, you know, let's focus on our strengths and manage our weaknesses. But there are certain things that God does in us and through us where it's actually us maybe awkwardly leading in an area of weakness or doing something that maybe we don't fully enjoy, yet we hear stories of, oh, you know, how God has used us in and
right.
through that. But I don't think it's somewhere where we would want to stay permanently, right? It's
right.
more of a means of character testing and development rather than a, hey, you know, if you really are, if, you know, if you really want to make your greatest impact, then you need to find your area of greatest weakness so that God's can be fully glorified. I don't think that's really the case.
Well, that sounds, no. When people begin to think like that, it's a little bit like manipulating God's sovereignty.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, as opposed to following it. I do think that there are times when people have a conviction, their conscience is kind of heavily weighed upon to stay in a position that they're not crazy about, that maybe they're underpaid for, that they're treated unfairly, whatever it is, because they see that God has them there for a reason. Mm-hmm. But the calling there is God has me here for a reason, not the position. So it's not, again, the position is not the calling. It's the things that are worked out while doing the job.
Yeah, and that's where I love, I mean, we love Venn diagrams here, right? And, you know, we've talked about knowledge, experience, and
they
coaching.
They work really well in an audio medium, too.
So here's another Venn diagram, right? Three circles for you. One is passion, another is skill, and the third is organizational need. And when you look at that, those three things, I feel like that's a great way to discern whether what you are doing is related to how God has wired you,
right,
you know, for your greatest impact, right? So the so for example, let's say singing, right? You know, let's say there are lots of people who love to sing.
Todd's area of passion, not so much his area of talent.
He may be passionate about it, may like to sing in the shower, right? He may even think he's skilled at it, but if no one's going to pay him to sing, then it's not.
It's not a position of organizational need.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Or, yes.
But I do think that if you look around, and just sort of the way that people decide how to do their jobs now and how to pursue things, there's much more transience. There's much more mobility across different jobs. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that people are constantly trying to do a job that they enjoy. I don't like this one. I'm going to go find something else. Yeah. So they're constantly pursuing their passions. They may be pursuing their areas of giftedness. They may even be pursuing positions of organizational need. But calling doesn't seem to play a role in that. And that that leads us into our fourth question, which is, how do you discern between a calling and a desire?
Yeah.
You know, I really wanted to go pastor a church, which, by the way, I'm not dying to do. That's why it's hypothetical. I'm dying to do that. So I begin to see along the way, oh, that looks like a sign I should do this, or somebody else expressed interest in me doing this. Mm-hmm. How do I know if that's me wanting something and seeing things, or is that God calling me to something?
This is a really tough question for me personally, because I almost brought this in to the last question, and that is, you know, so many times I think there is when you go back to the whole conversation around sacerdotalism and that kind of a thing.
Do I need to bring out the pronunciation again?
No, it's correct.
Okay.
Here's the thing. A lot of times when you interview for a church— I've been put in this situation multiple times where they're like, are you called to our church? Are you called to our position?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, no, like, no, no, I'm called. I know who I'm supposed to be. I know how God has wired me. I know what I'm passionate about. There've been a couple times in my life where I truly have felt the Lord is calling me to do this or calling me to this place.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it was a city. It wasn't a church. It wasn't the specific church. So there's a couple of things like that that I want to be really careful about, because yes, God is going to use you in places that may be an area of weakness. But I think the majority of the time, it's going to be easy, obvious, and strategic. And it's just going to be like, duh, just do this. Yeah. I made you to do this. Go do it. And so sometimes I think that the problem with that is, and the way we phrase this question, is it more of a calling or a desire? I think you should be passionate about your calling. You should desire to do that. But I think the root of the question that you're getting to is, hey, some guys just, they desire, they're not called to have a platform, or they're not called to be a pastor. They really want to. It's more of a...
Right.
Want to more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing about this whole discussion, and I understand, I mean, these are questions that I was asking too, when I was like, Lord, are you calling me to the ministry, or are you calling me, you know, to this? And you know, in a sense, you ask these questions, especially young adults, because you're like, a young adult, you're like, what am I going to do with my life?
Right.
And especially if you're a follower of Christ, you're like, okay, well, yes, I understand this thing called the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. So I understand why people ask these questions, and I've asked myself these questions as well. But for the majority of our world, people aren't asking these questions,
mm-hmm.
because it's well, okay, let's take, you know, one of the EU countries, for example, where there's 70% unemployment. Well, are you called to do this? Are you called? No, just go get a job and provide for your family. And I feel like for some people, especially in the Western context, the temptation is to spend so much time trying to figure out your calling that you actually just aren't working.
Yeah.
Right.
and calling is very circumstantial in light of that. I mean, mm-hmm. there are, let's, let's rip on millennials because I am one, and so I have a right to do this. And everybody takes shots at millennials. So the idea that we're an entitled bunch who are constantly trying to find what's best for us instead of just going and getting a job. Yeah. I've made that criticism of my peers or the millennials younger than me. Whereas the calling is be godly, be responsible. And responsibility might mean getting an entry-level job that you don't love so that you can learn the skills, the abilities, the habits, the discipline to earn the right to something more. Some people might be called to jump from one good position to another. Some people might be called to lower themselves because the position they're in now is leading them to pride or sinful temptation or whatever. I mean, calling can lead people any number of directions, but it will always lead you in a direction that is more godly, not less.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel like calling is more a direction than a destination, right? Where it's, imagine going into, your church or going into your new company and being like, I feel called to be the CEO here.
Right. Right. I mean, how many of us, I remember when I worked at a church and I wasn't in a hiring position, but I was in the room when somebody came and told my fellow staff members that they were called to be the pastor, but they had not been called by the church. Mm-hmm. The Lord, quote unquote, had called them
God
to that.
God told me.
Right.
Yeah, to marry you. We're going to get married. God said it.
I think that's an important delineation here is that if you are certain that you are called to something and nobody else has any inclination that you're called to it, it may just be a desire or your imagination as opposed to an actual thing that God wants you to head into. Let's hit our fifth question. And this is very open-ended, but this is the question that I think nags at people the most. And that is, how do you know if you're following your calling? Are you doing the thing that God wants you to do? Nobody wants to address this.
It's a big question, Barnabas.
It is
a big question.
Well, I wasn't expecting easy answers.
Okay.
But I'm editing right now in my head.
No need to edit. There's we can do that afterwards or just leave it in.
All right. Let me try something. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this here or not. But there is Saint Ignatius of Loyola. Mm-hmm. He had this he's done a lot of work and thinking around discernment. And what he talked about was basically two ways to discern whether or not you're walking in the ways of the Lord. One is through, and here's the other thing. I have an experience with Campus Crusade for Christ during college, and they said always, you have to have feeling is something that always comes last. So they always say, hey, you need to base your decisions on fact and faith. Feeling needs to be at the end. But what Saint Francis of Loyola said was, Ignatius of Loyola. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Saint Ignatius of Loyola.
Are you sure you're pronouncing that correctly?
Got that one down.
Okay.
What he said was, hey, emotions actually do take into, you need to take your emotions into consideration when you're discerning. So for example, if you're walking in patterns of sin or you're walking in ways where, you're just not right with God, then your emotions aren't things that you can really trust in the times of discernment.
Unfortunately, that is when you will trust your emotions most.
Yeah. And on the flip side, if you are walking in the ways of the Lord, you are in accountability, you are in scripture, then that's the time when you can actually take emotions into account when you're discerning.
Right. I along those lines, I feel like people need to take a lot of the pressure off of themselves with this, because I think that the sort of nagging feeling that people have about this, am I following my calling, is from that kind of false mindset of there is one thing out there that God wants me to be doing, one job, one task, one role, and if I'm not doing it, I'm not living up to what God wants me to be. And that's garbage. I don't believe that that's the case at all, because I agree with what Daniel said, where calling is a process, not a destination. And so the calling is the growth in godliness on the way. It is the seeking God. It is the being right with God in such a way that you will begin to discern where you should make changes, what you should do differently, those kinds of things.
Yes, I would agree most of the time.
Okay.
I would say there have been times in my life where I was like, no, I know that I'm being prompted to do this. It was a it wasn't a God told me kind of a thing, but it was a just, you know, people, I want to be really careful with that because, you know, if somebody tells me God told me X, I'm like, okay, that may have happened, but 9 times out of 10, I'm going to think you're crazy. When somebody says God laid on my heart, I'm a little more open to that because that to me means they've sought scripture, they've sought wise counsel, and they've come to that conclusion through prayer. To me, like that's almost like, how do I make a decision, you know, kind of a thing. But honestly, I do think that there are some things that God's like, nope, I want, you know, you to do this.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, sometimes you're at the grocery store or you're on the airplane or whatever, and you're like, if I don't share Jesus with this person, I'm going to answer for it.
Yeah.
I'm going to answer for it. I mean, you know, there may be 8 other people that I sat next to on the last 8 flights and it didn't come up. And but it's like, no, you need to like chase this person down in the airport.
I feel like what you're saying is sort of the mature version of what Daniel started with, in that
I'll take that as the Gen Xer of the group.
but I mean, he was talking about how being right with the Lord, being in Scripture, having this foundation laid so that you know what it means to walk in step with what God wants. That leads to the kind of discernment that more specific things can be laid on your heart, because that's where you can begin to trust your heart, because it's saturated with God's word as opposed to saturated with your own desires as the guiding factor, I think.
Yeah, and as you move along that, right, and as you daily, I mean, that's where, you know, what does it look like to be faithful in the little, right? I mean, that just if you were to wake up every day and pray, Lord, here I am, and on the flip side say, hey, I'm going to be faithful with all of my responsibilities. I mean, just doing those two things are going to take you far, right? And that's where, you know, you look at that Venn diagram where it's organizational need, passion, and skill, and you just look at, okay, in a prolonged sense, if I'm moving more towards honing my skills, what I'm strong at, what I'm good at, and then as you do that and you're faithful, then there's going to be organizational needs, whether maybe it's at the church you're at or the business that you're running or wherever you're leading, you know, more of those opportunities will come up because you're faithful and because you're doing what you are passionate and are strong at doing. And then, you know, you bring the passion in and you'll enjoy doing that thing. So that's where I really feel calling is more of a, hey, we have a first and foremost primary call. To the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. But secondarily, it's, hey, be faithful. And it's going to kind of, you know, it's like, you know, when you're dating and you're praying about, hey, how do you know? Well, you kind of know when you know, one of those things.
And I guess the thing that I would want a listener to not be burdened with is the bullseye mentality.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't the scene in Star Wars where you're flying down the chute and you have a, you know, 3 meter by 3 meter the window to shoot your one photon torpedo through or whatever it was. It's like, that's not life. That's not calling.
Are you sure that's how you pronounce for?
No, because photon? I'm pretty sure those are from Star Trek and I'm mixing up my nerderies. But somebody's going to blast me on Twitter for this because nobody gets madder than nerds about Star Trek and Star Wars.
But no. They're called to.
They're called to discernment tweeting about.
Oh yes,
technology.
Tweeting and Facebook.
About fictional
technology. There
are
lots of people called on Facebook.
Anyway, it's not just the bullseye. There's a path you are walking on as opposed to a target you have to hit, and I think that should relieve pressure. I know that when I was in college trying to figure out what to do out of college, somebody told me this, and it was kind of like a light bulb went on because I began to realize that, oh, I don't have to land the perfect job at 22 years old. I just need to get a job that allows me to do the things that God wants me to do, mainly be responsible with my money, pay bills, learn skills, grow in maturity, those kinds of things, and develop from there.
It's true. I mean, you know, I'm not quite a decade ahead of you guys, but almost. And if I look back and say, okay, well, how did I end up here? If I would have planned to end up here as a, you know, director of leadership at Lifeway, I would not have. First of all, I wouldn't have planned that.
That's right. Yeah, not the thing you're going for at 20.
But you know, the other piece is, it was, I was far from perfect, and I'm sure I screwed up, and God had to make some readjustments on all that. But the whole thing, you know, the idea of having to have it figured out now is not as important as just being faithful where you are now and letting that, those next steps come forth.
Well, out of respect for the old man in the room, we will let him have the last word on that. So Todd spoke the last words.
Just Todd in case. Was like, who?
Wait, he's looking around, who's the old guy? So that is, I hope that was beneficial to listeners. I hope it was encouraging in terms, especially because I'm sure there are people who are figuring out what to do next. And hopefully this was more enlightening and less muddling. But we do appreciate everybody listening. Before we go, I just want to remind you, check out the New Church's Q&A podcast that Daniel does with Todd and with Ed Stetzer alternately. And you can find out more information at newchurches.com. And that's especially aimed at church planters and people doing multi-site churches. So if you are in a church plant, supporting a church plant, leading a church plant, go check that out.
Or want to plant churches out of your church.
Yes.
As well.
Or interested in planting churches.
Or multi-site.
Yes, that too. You act like that's the redheaded stepchild here or something.
Kind of is sometimes.
Sometimes. All right. But go check out newchurches.com and the New Churches Q&A podcast. Thanks so much for listening and tune in next time.
Thanks for joining us for today's podcast. Before you go, we do want to invite you again to that free webinar on March 17th titled Leadership Pipeline, the Role of the Volunteer. During the webinar, you'll hear from Danny Franks, who's the Connections Pastor at Summit Church in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina, as well as from Todd and myself. You'll find the webinar practical and helpful for you and your team as you seek to develop leaders more effectively from the volunteer level all the way up. For more information and to register you and your team, go to live.lifewayleadership.com. Again, that's live.lifewayleadership.com.